Good morning, Nottingley Community Church. My name is Pat and I'm a member of the church family at KCC. Whether you are a church family member or a visitor this morning, it's great to have you with us and I hope you'll enjoy sharing God's word and praying together. In a moment, Pastor Nicola is going to explore more on the book of Ruth, and in future weeks, I think you'll be seeing a few more familiar faces contributing to the service. Let us pray. Lord, even though we're not together, we can worship you. We can remember your miracles. We can think about your works. And we can thank and praise you as you continue to work in power. Bless and guide each one of us in the coming week. And help us to see opportunities to love and serve others. In times of difficulty or worry, let us trust in your unfailing love and mercy. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be with you today. My name's Nicola. I'm a pastor here at KCC. And this morning I'm going to bring a short talk from the book of Ruth in the Bible. Last week we started a new series and we read chapter 1, and this week we're going to be looking at chapter 2. So I'm just going to ask Lily now to read that chapter for us.
Good morning. My name's Lily and I'm going to be reading this morning from Ruth chapter 2. I'm reading from the New King James Version. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favour." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favour in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and that you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favour in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, so she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. God bless.
Thank you, Lily. That was great. I'm just going to tell you a parable now, the parable of the drowning man. Now, this is a parable that's not in the Bible, so you won't find it there. A fellow was stuck on his rooftop in a flood, and he was praying out to God for help. Soon a man came by in a rowing boat, and he shouted out to the man, "Jump in, I will save you." The man shouted back, "No, it's okay. I'm praying to God, and he is going to save me." So the rowboat went on. Then a motorboat came past, and the guy in the motorboat shouted, "Jump in, I can save you." And to this, the stranded man said, "No thanks, I'm praying to God, and he is going to save me. I have faith." So the motorboat went on. Then a helicopter came by, and the pilot shouted down, "Grab this rope and I will lift you to safety." So the stranded man again replied, "No thanks, I'm praying to God, and he is going to save me. I have faith." So the helicopter pilot reluctantly flew away. Soon the water rose and the floods rose, and the rooftop became underwater, and the man drowned. He went to heaven. He finally got his chance to discuss this whole situation with God, at which point he explained, "I had faith in you, but you didn't save me. You let me drown. I don't understand why." To this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more did you expect?" This week, we're going to be looking at Ruth chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at prayer and action and our own responsibilities within that. We have to move. Sometimes when we want to see things happen in our lives, we pray and we pray and we pray. And this is great. We should always give our plans to God, and we always should pray and ask him to direct our steps and ask that God will provide for us and will make a way for us. This could be in our job situation. It could be with our partner, our husband, our wife, our future spouses. It could be in a relationship or a friendship. It could be a contract to do with work. It could be something to do with a hobby. It could be some kind of provision or some kind of healing. But that's not all we should do. Prayer needs action. I'm just going to look at Ruth now in this situation. Ruth was a foreigner in the land of Judah. She was poor. She was a widow. But she had faith in God. And Ruth made a decision. Now, Ruth could have stayed at home with Naomi and waited and prayed and asked God to provide food for her. Because in that time, if you were a widow, it was very difficult to survive. You were the poorest of the poor, and you had to rely on the help of others if you weren't able to get support yourself. So maybe she was waiting for that goodwill of others to bring some food for charity and for donations for her. But instead of staying at home with Naomi, she decided to move. She decided to step out She decided not just to sit and wait, but to take action because she could. She used her initiative, she was humble, and she was industrious. It says, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. Ruth went out to glean. She went out to pick up the remnants of wheat that were left behind in the fields. She went out to provide for herself and for Naomi. She saw a way, she saw an opportunity, and she had the ability to do it. She was humble. She wasn't bothered about the status or what people would say or would think about her. She was prepared to step out. She was prepared to face the dangers of the field. But in the Bible, landowners were told by God to leave some of the harvest for the poor and needy. If we look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." In Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says in verse 9, "When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. When you beat the olives from the trees, do not go back over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this." Ruth made a choice not to stay and sit and wait, but to go, to make a step and to move. I'm just going to give you a few examples of people who stepped out and it changed their lives. They actually didn't sit and wait, but they actually actioned. In Matthew 9, verse 20, it says, "Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him." That is Jesus. "She touched the fringe of his robe and she thought, 'If I can just touch his robe, I would be healed.'" If she hadn't have stepped out, if she'd have sat and waited, maybe for him to come, or maybe for him to pass right by her, or maybe just thinking that one day she'd be healed by a doctor, she may never have got that healing. But she went forward, she stepped out, and she touched, and she reached out to touch Jesus, and she was healed. We look at Noah in Genesis 6. He built an ark. God asked him to build an ark because he was going to send a flood. Noah could have sat there and thought, "Yeah, that's a good idea, but it's hard work. Maybe God will just provide an ark that will float by." But he didn't. He stepped out and he worked hard. And when the rains came, he'd built an ark and him and his family were saved. The Howard Schultz way. A trip to Milan gave a young marketer working for a Seattle coffee bean roaster an idea to upscale espresso cafes like they had all over Italy. Now, his employer at the coffee bean roaster had no interest in owning coffee shops, but he agreed to finance Schultz's endeavour. They even sold him their brand name, Starbucks. In Japan in 1917, a 23-year-old apprentice at the Osaka Electric Light Company, who had no formal education, came up with an improved light socket. His boss wasn't interested, so he started making samples in his own basement. He later expanded with battery-powered bicycle lamps and other electronic products. It officially changed its name. He built a company and it officially changed its name to Panasonic, and it is now worth $66 billion. He had an idea, but he didn't just sit on it. He stepped out and it changed his life. One of my friends, Kippy, she was given an acre of land in Sierra Leone by her family for a holiday home for when she wanted to visit, as she resided in the UK. But she decided that she wanted to use it for the community, and she set out to build homes for children who had no family. Now Heaven Homes, with charity that I helped to set up with her, is thriving. It's got a school, it's got healthcare, it's got water pumps, it's got a community outreach. It provided aid in the crisis when Ebola hit that nation. From an acre of land and with somebody, a lady with a vision who took a step out, there's now a thriving charity that's supporting the whole community and is giving homes to many people, many children who have no families. All of these things would not have happened if the people involved didn't take a step. Go with what you have. God guides our steps. Now, Ruth set out with blessing from Naomi. Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. As it turned out, was that luck? Was that chance? Was that coincidence? Or was it God's divine favour and guidance? Ruth didn't just happen to glean in Boaz's field by chance. She was guided there by God, even though she was unaware of that. And sometimes we're unaware of God's provision for us and for guidance for us and guidance to us at the time that it's happening. But it's not until we look back that we see the hand of God at work in every single step of the way. You know, maybe we applied for a job and God opened up the opportunities that we would never imagine possible. Maybe we started a new hobby and that led us to meet new people who changed the direction of our lives. Ruth chose a field and began to work. Sometimes we have to make those physical steps before, and we're guided by God as we go. We don't see the whole picture and then go. God asks us to have faith and to take that first step. And as we take that first step, he will guide the rest of our steps. By stepping out of the home, Ruth stepped into the plans that God had for her. But she had to step. She didn't wait. There was no flashing lights. It was her choice. It was a way that she saw, and she took it. And God blessed it. She wasn't going out of God's plan. She didn't even know what God's plan was for her. But she knew she had to do something. In Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." And in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." You have to work hard. Verse 17, it says, "So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley and she gathered that she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law." Ruth set to it, and she worked hard. And her character was noted by others. Ruth had a really good attitude, and she was grateful for that opportunity to glean. She was thankful to the landowner to allow her to do it. She didn't say, "It's about time somebody noticed me. I've been doing this all day. Maybe God will bless me now. I deserve it." She didn't ask why the hardships had come. She didn't look at the negative. She didn't look at the fact that she was having to glean and humble herself, and she was having to work so hard with hardly a break in the day just to provide enough food for herself and for Naomi. But she looked at the good things that were happening. Why have I found favour? Why has this person allowed me to glean in the field? Ruth worked through the barley and the wheat harvests. Things didn't change overnight. She didn't give up after a few days. She persevered, she worked hard, and she stayed loyal. Her situation stayed the same for a while. She still lived with Naomi. She was still a widow. They were still poor. She still went out every day and gleaned in the field for weeks and weeks and months and months. She wasn't bitter. She was thankful, even though she only saw a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of a different, better future. She was thankful for that. And she persevered. Now, the people of the town had noticed this attitude and the way that she lived. In verse 10, it says, at this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland and you came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. God provides the way. Now, this whole situation, you can see in this whole chapter, God's divine providence. There was Boaz. Boaz was a kinsman, a guardian redeemer. Now, a kinsman redeemer or guardian redeemer was a person who was responsible for protecting the interests of the needy members of their extended family. For example, to provide an heir for a brother who had died. To redeem land that a poor relative had sold outside of the family. Or to redeem a relative who had been sold into slavery, or to avenge the killing of a relative. And Boaz was a guardian redeemer for Ruth's family, for Naomi's family. God is the one who is providing. Boaz is the instrument of God's blessing. God provided safety through Boaz. He provided enough food, and he guided Ruth to that right place. And he provided her to Boaz, a kinsman redeemer. All of this awakened hope in Naomi that there was going to be a possibility of a future for Ruth and herself, that there would be blessings to come, that God would bless them abundantly. Now, I can remember a story when I lived in Sierra Leone and I was working as a missionary there. I didn't have my own transport. I relied on public transport. And sometimes in the rainy season, the roads, as you can imagine, were a little bit uneven and many times impassable. And God, before I went to Sierra Leone, God gave me this verse, Acts 18, verse 9. It says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. And that's something that God reminded of me many, many times. As a time when I was in Sierra Leone was at the end of the Civil War. So it was a quite disrupted country and in quite a devastated condition. But one time when I was in Godridge, I was giving the word. I was training the pastors and I was teaching the church there. And I got a little bit delayed and the rains had come. And when I got to the village square where the transport to take me back home was, there was a big huddle of women who was trying to get to the market and to the coast to get things for the market. And there were actually fist fights and physical fights because there wasn't enough space for everyone to get on this one minibus that was heading back into town. It was the last one. All the other minibuses and the taxis had decided that they weren't going to travel the road because it was too dangerous. It was too uneven. And it would damage their vehicles. And so that I just thought, there's absolutely no way I'm going to get onto that minibus. And I just said, God, I need your help. I need to get home. It's getting dark and I obviously couldn't walk home and it wouldn't be safe. And as I was praying this, I heard someone shout, taxi, taxi, over here, taxi. And as I turned round on the edge of the square, there was a man stood on the sill of his car, waving his hands about, saying that there was a space left in his taxi. So I went straight across there to the taxi. And he said, I don't know why everybody's trying to get onto the bus. And I've been waiting a while here and nobody wanted my last space in my taxi. And I just thought, God, you've provided that for me. When I got in the taxi, it was great because public transport was not always safe at that time. Inside the taxi, which usually carried 6 passengers, 4 in the back seat and 2 in the front, there were 3 women going to market. There was a female police officer and there was a pastor that I knew really well from one of the local churches. So I felt really safe. I believed that God had placed the right people in that taxi for my safety at that time. And we travelled along the road into the next town. And the taxis at that point, they travelled like buses here in the UK. They had set routes. So the taxi stopped at the end of the bridge and you had to cross the bridge, walk through the town centre and get onto the next transport at the other side. Now, the town that it was going to go through, it stopped at the bridge and the pastor that was in the car was going all the way to Freetown, which was the same route as me, but further on. So he grabbed my hand and said, "Nikki, hold on to my hand, just run." And we ran through the town. The reason being is that this town was the red light district. It was the kind of the place where there was a lot of drugs and a lot of crime in that area, and it wasn't safe at all. So he grabbed my hand and we just ran, and we got on the next part of the transport. And I travelled with him right until the stop to my house. He got free transport into town for a meeting, and I got a safe passage all the way. And God just reminded me of that verse: "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I am with you. No one is going to attack you or harm you because I have many people in this city." You know, I could have stayed in my accommodation and not gone out and spoke the gospel, not gone out and taught people about the Bible because I feared for my own safety, but that's not what God took me there for. And he said, "Don't be silent, keep on speaking." And he provided me the protection and he provided me the way. You know, sometimes we have to step out. We have to action. We have to take action. We have to have faith. You know, God guides our steps. We have to trust him. We have to trust him that he has a plan, that when we do step out, when we do step out in faith, that he's going to be there and he's going to guide us. But we have to work hard. We have to have that right attitude and we have to be thankful for all that God is doing and all that he has done. We have to be thankful for the little things. And we have to look at those things that we're thankful for and not concentrate on those things that are not quite right or that we haven't got all those struggles. And we have to look to God's divine providence. We have to look at what God has provided. Often it's not until we look back many months or years later that we see that God was moving all the way through. God was guiding all the way through. God was providing all the way through. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that we are safe in your arms. We thank you, God, that we can put our lives, we can trust our lives to you, God. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, that people will decide to take steps of faith. Lord, that we will trust you as you guide us. And Lord, that we would be full of thankfulness for all the things that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be thankful, help us to be grateful and have a heart of gratitude. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that provides. And we pray, God, that we would have faith and trust in you as we go about our daily lives, Lord, as we make important decisions and as we step out into those things that we believe that you have led us to. In Jesus' name, amen. It was great that you could join with us today. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you back here next week at KCC.